there's just one name above all names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to lift you up in our midst. We want to honor you. We want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to give you all the honor and praise, Lord. We want to love you more. Lord, we came together to worship thee, O Lord. You're the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You're above all principalities and powers, Lord. And you saved us. You redeemed us. You loved us since before the foundation of the world. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you that we can be here, that you call us out for to worship thee, O Lord. Lord, we love you. You're so good to me, Lord. Holy, to be and to be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you pulled us close to you, that we are here. This is a Sunday morning and it's a new day with you. We're glad you pulled us herein. You brought us to worship you. You gave us a privilege, the honor. You gave us power to be called sons and daughters of God. Here we are in your presence to worship you. Here we came, no matter what we had as burdens on our heart, no matter what was trying to hold us back. Here we are now, Lord. We're your soldiers, your children, your bride, your loved ones. Some of us had to struggle to come here. But we are here now, and we love to worship you. Help us to get out of our own thoughts and be filled with your thoughts. Think with our mind. Look through our eyes. Speak through our mouth. Hear with our ears. Understand, Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us. And we know you're going to grant it because it was your desire that as soon as that day comes, as more we see it approaching, that we will come together even more to worship thee. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for a second. My God bless you. Nice to see you again. First of all, I want to send greetings from our pastor, Brother Gerd Rodewald. He really enjoyed being here. And I can tell you, he came back encouraged. So we are happy also. So it's always good if you see the pastor encouraged. It helps the church. And he really is sending greetings. He loved the time. And he told me, there are even people that love you. So we understand one another. And it encouraged me too. God bless you for that. Also, special greetings to Brother Bob Brooks and to Brother Stephen Strew's family, who took care for the son-in-law of Brother Gerd and his wife. Here I'm back again from Germany. I have to work here. I was flying in yesterday, still a little bit mixed up, but it helps you to wake up early in the morning on Sunday. I may fall asleep in the afternoon, but I had not on my heart to preach so long. So let me sing a song at the beginning. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. I cannot complain. God is so good to me, and He gave me the victory. God is so good to me. I cannot complain. Came to me, spoke into my soul. He came to me and made me whole. What a relief. Free from unbelief, I can trust His word in these last days. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. I cannot complain. God is so good to me. His Spirit came to me. He's good to you also. Let us stand up for the reason, Lord. He's good to you.
Amen.
He's so good to us. I want to thank Brother Jeff also for the invitation, and I feel humbled by that. Can I greet my wife? Schatz, halt durch, ich komme bald wieder. She's listening now. Bet für mich. Let's open the Bible in John 1:1-14. It would be a bit easier for me to preach in German, but I don't know if you have a translator. But let's read that and help me. As I said last time, if you don't understand, just lift your hand and make me know. Help me in that. I try to be as simple as possible. The Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own receiveth him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I want to emphasize that he gave power to become sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, once again, I want to ask you that you might bring forth what you want to have to be brought forth in this morning. Emphasize the things you want to emphasize. Help me to get out of the way and get rid of my own thoughts. Let us understand and receive original thoughts. Help us to listen in the way you want us to. Open our hearts. Give strength to those that are weakened. Help them that are stricken down or have battles, and they fight with diseases and different things, with the tricks of the devil. Help us to have faith in your word, and may you strengthen the weak ones among us, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. He said to give power. Sometimes you see we are very complicated in things. It seems to be a human nature. And it's especially a sign of the time that we are complicated. We make things very complicated. And at the end you might say, you make it a little bit too simple. Okay? Actually, I believe you cannot bring out everything every time. And we want to have it always balanced out, totally balanced out, until it's even lukewarm. Because you can take the right and the left and this thought, and if you bring all the thoughts, then nobody's receiving anything. Because always God has a different thought, and He's emphasizing that on that day. And it's a subject, we had somebody visiting our church, and later on, that man was talking to his daughter, and the daughter is coming to church often, and he said, what I found out, you're always emphasizing one thought. Then you come from the left, then from the right, and then from here, and then from there. And you take a whole hour for it. And always, it's about the same thing. And then the sister came to me, and she said, oh, my daddy, he said, we always say the same. And I said, yes, hallelujah. That's possible. That's possible. Because it is like that. Even in the messages of Brother Branham, he brings out one sentence The spoken word is the original seed and may take 4 hours and going from different angles until we understand the spoken word is the original seed. And we love to make it complicated because we live in a world that is very, very complicated. Always trying to bring this aspect and this aspect. You know, I can't bring all aspects, but tomorrow somebody else will do it. And after all, the pastor will balancing it out. He will take care. So actually, he will receive leading and guiding for to bring it into that direction. So that's not about, you see, to go in extreme or to go overboard or say much more than the prophet said or whatever. I don't want to say that. But keep in mind, there's a thought always. God is telling us something. And we always try to bring all the quotes together. It's like God wants to give you a nice verse. He wants to enlighten it for your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. We know if this ever becomes a revelation in our life, we walk on water. We can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I shall not want. But you know, we all have then all the other verses around it and we try to bring it all together and then we're somewhere in predestination and these things and God cannot emphasize that to us. I shall not want, but what about my theophany? Theophany wants something or... And we're lost. God wants to bring the simple thought. One step after a time. Like a little kid, you try to train it in the kitchen to help little things. And the first time it takes a plate. And then you see it wants to take everything. Oh, come on. Try it with one plate. And not with the best one. You know? We have a very complicated concept of the Word of God. We want to know our position in Christ. And I hope you understand. I try to give it as a picture. And we want to know the street address of our heavenly place in the heavenly Jerusalem, you know? So, it's to explain. We want to make it like, let me know the zip code. Let me know the zip code in the heavenly Jerusalem. Or let me know this and that. Let me explain it more in details. But after all, about the position in Christ, we often think about ministries, special tasks and things. And we heard often, it's so important we have to know our position. But while thinking about special offices and things, what I have to do, maybe I have to do this and that. Maybe I have to go to China or whatever. By that we forget that Brother Branham even spoke about simple things about the position in Christ. And first of all, we have to know that we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. That's the main point. Amen. We have to know we're sons and daughters of God. I have to know that I'm redeemed as the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's own blood shared for me. I'm loved since the foundation of the world, or even before. God loved the world. He sent his own begotten Son. And he's done all these things for me. So I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God. And all the things behind it will come. But if we don't have a clear foundation, who we are, what we are, then it's just in vain, you know. How do you want to have faith for to go into a country in the mission field if you don't have faith that you're a son of God? If you don't have faith to stand in front of your boss if he's attacking you, and then to stand for your confession and for what you believe. It's nonsense. So let's stand on the word and believe the word. And he will build word upon word upon word, revelation on revelation on revelation. He's going to open it up. Amen. A simple thought, 55, the great servant Moses. When I used to have to be led around by the arms, great big glasses on like that, and could hardly see where I was going, and now I got a testimony. Because I realized my position in Christ Jesus. He made a covenant. And I received it and believed him. And today it's sweet honey to eat it and tell others. So he had a time, you remember that, when he had glasses like that? And he realized his position. He's redeemed. He realized the effect of the cross for him. He realized I'm a son of God. Christ died for me. He took my place so that I can take his place. I used to oftentimes wonder what's the matter with the Christian church. They're so scared of things. Why, you've got nothing to be scared about. The first word nearly Jesus said after the resurrection, fear not. See, don't fear, don't get scared. That's 55, word of separation. There ain't nothing going to happen. Nothing can happen. Do you understand me, or is the German slang too hard? Okay. Please tell me, don't fall asleep. Sometimes people look at me and I don't know. Nothing can happen. Nothing can bother a Christian. Amen. Not even death itself can even touch a Christian. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But he passed from death unto life. You see, we sit sometimes in church. Somebody may... You see, I don't have all these verses in English, you know, like out of the pocket. We know them in German, so I have to read it. You have to bear with me. I don't want to speak it wrong, you know, it's the word of God. So I have to read it. And then sometimes when we hear a verse or we hit a quote or anything, our computer here, our hard disk is running already. We have the whole thing finished already. And shall not come into condemnation. Amen. Hey, not come into condemnation? Just think of it. Live, Ohio, think of it. That's the way Brother Bram preached. I heard it on tape. New York, think of it. Wow, we love that. Sometimes Germans are like Africans, you know. Some. Okay. Death itself has no reign over Christian. Christ died in our stead. Amen. What a marvelous thing. What a faith we ought to build up in the people. Something that'll toe the mark. You'll never get nothing by being a little jellyfish Christian. You know jellyfish? That's this thing, you know? I have a look up with the jellyfish. That's a jellyfish. Brother, we need some Christians, not jellyfish, but with a backbone. That's right. That will stand. Well, I don't mean to fuss with people, but stand for your God-given rights that Christ died for. Stand for it. He paid the price for our sins. And in his stripes, we are healed. I am healed. And I have to confess it. Confession means to say the right word, to say what he said. To speak the word. Who's speaking the word today? Oh, we can quote all kinds of things and talk about revelations and whatever, but speak what he said. I am healed. You see, sometimes we're very complicated. We know a lot of things. So we may say, maybe I have my case is special. And I would ask, brother, what is special on your case? You see, even in the Bible, you know, and Brother Brian taught us, you know that Paul, God spoke to him, my grace is sufficient. Yes, it was Paul. Okay. Did you have God speaking three times to you after you knocked? After you came with a word and said, in your stripes I'm healed. I don't understand that. Did God come three times and tell you my grace is sufficient? Until this didn't happen to you, you should say with the first word, right? You look at me, you understand what I mean? Is it out of the way or? So we have all kind of wonderful explanations, but I'm not Paul. God didn't tell me that. God told me, believe the word. I did it for you. I died for you. I paid the price for you. That's what he did. Here. It's your privilege to have anything that you inherited. Through accepting Jesus Christ and dying to yourself. How marvelous. Yes, sir. Satan said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No, you ain't going to do nothing. Good answer, huh? I tell you what I'm going to do. No, you're not going to do nothing. That's a way to talk back to him. Say, I know my position in Christ. And you just might as well get away. I ain't listening to you no more. I got an inheritance. I got an inheritance. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Hey, you doubt it again. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He's going to do it. A TH faith. He is. So I don't want to joke too much. You understand? I just, please understand. You see, the devil is coming with misinterpretation of the word. Always. He's misplacing the word. I don't know. I thought of maybe I'll tell you at the end, but just let me give you a testimony and you can say, okay, he's weak in faith or whatever. I don't mind. I want to be honest. Not long ago, just 2 weeks or something, I had the Sunday morning service in Wieselsberg and in the afternoon somewhere else in Nuremberg to work there later on. And in the morning, you see, you don't feel always good. And most of the time, I feel not too good after preaching. I feel like, what was it? I couldn't bring out the point, and it was once again. It's like better to quit, you know? That atmosphere. And here I was going from Wieselsberg without feeling anything. I thought the only good thing, I made it. Next week, Brother Gerd will be there, then it's okay. That was the feeling. And then I went further on, you know, to the next place. Didn't have no rest. Somebody else had questions, whatever. So I was going there. No, don't know what to preach. Not having anything. You know, these notes are brand new from this morning, 6:30. So, and we go into a service and you don't know nothing. And here it was just 10 minutes left. Nothing. And somehow, really, I was on my knees and said, Lord, you know, even this morning I felt not too good. And I tried to explain, you know. I know the prophet speaks about a special time in the life of a ministry that it comes to a peak, you know, you come to a... So maybe I'm on the already way down. And as I told you, if you don't give me something now and I see it's going to quit, then maybe my time's over. Really? That's the way I was talking. And then suddenly something came from the inside. What are you praying? Gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. What are you doing with the word right now? And if this was 3 minutes before the service, I said, Lord, forgive me. Gifts and callings are without repentance. If I have to go down there without a Bible, I can preach. Amen. And somehow I could do it. I don't know if it was good, but I could make it. But to me, first of all, it sounded very good. I could, you see, give even quotes and things and make it very stylish for me. But nonsense. We're still in the battle. It's not time to lay aside the sword and to say, okay, maybe the rapture's going to come very soon. No, we're in a battle. As more as we see the day approaching, we have to stand on our post of duty. You have to stand on the post of duty. We have to come to church. We have to say amen. We have to encourage the pastor. Pastor, we have to work for it. We have to live it. You see, if you work in a company and 5 minutes before, 4 or 5, whenever you have to stop, you would just sit down and say, oh, it's just 10 minutes left, you know. We can sit down. The boss come over and tells you, what are you doing? Oh, you see, it's just 10 minutes left. You know? Yeah. I was starting to change my clothes already, you know. Go to work. Everybody would say that. Go to work. I didn't pay you for 7 hours 50 or 8 hours 90 or I don't know. No, I paid you for 10 hours or 12 or 8 or whatever. So that's the way it is. We should not have a wrong concept of a position in Christ. Here it says in adoption 4, but the purpose of this is seeing your position in Christ, being that it's not something that you just stumbled into or something that might have you merited some somewhere. You did something good for it to get it. But it's what God did for you himself. Not that you were so good that you went to a church one night, that some poor brother led you up to the altar, and it wasn't that. It was God, before the foundation of the world, predestinated you to eternal life. You're not just born in a message believer family, just accidentally. No, no. It was God predestinating you before the foundation of the world. He did it. With purpose. You got a plan. To know who you are means also to behave different. You know you're a son, a daughter of God. We belong to a kingdom, or? So, not too much interest in politics, or? You're still interested in politics, democracy, and different things, and you know, you care. I'm interested in the kingdom, sorry. You can spend your time with all kind of politics and things, and you can. Why don't you think of the kingdom? Amen. The kingdom comes. Amen. We will not have a parliament. Amen. The kingdom of God. Amen. Here I would like to show you something that belongs to the understanding also of me being a son, a daughter of God. And I love that section. I don't know. Maybe I read it last time also. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19. The harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. We often wait for another word, but he shows us the word of life. You see, the word is given, the revelation is given, but it must be revealed to me. The prophet received a revelation. This whole book is a revelation of God, but it has to be revealed to me. The word. I don't need another angel to come to knock at my door. She receives it. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her. Because she never doubt the word, that's why nothing can harm her. Not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here's the secret of this. The word is in the bride, as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. So she knows what he wants done with the word. With a new message or anything special? With the word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, I shall not want for a thing. And all these precious things. He opens it up.
That's right.
And the same way he opens up, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you might get old and not even have wrinkles. People look at you. And then we remember the story. And this woman, she was asked. And she said, one day the Lord opened to me that scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I didn't want anymore. So it was done. That's why I'm looking so fresh. So if this can happen with the Psalms, what can happen with all these things that are revealed in our day? What kind of a power is there? If we just apply simple faith. She knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that is planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Amen. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his works while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do now. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. We all know that. You see, sometimes we say, okay, it must be God, it must be God, it must be God. God gave his word already. We all say, it must be God, it must be God. Yes, I know that. Brother Bram said it. It must be perfect, it must be God. She will only speak. Why don't you speak what God said? Why do you wait for another angel telling you something very, very special? You can rise up in the morning and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I want to fight. I want to stand for the word which is once delivered unto the saints. So you got a lot of things around you. The word is so rich and so full, you could confess it. And you're never wrong if you confess the word. It's just a word. Let me touch this. You see, Satan uses a man's head. He chose that in the Garden of Eden to take a man's head, not his thinking. And he has brought that down even to the church. See, the devil takes a man's head so he can use his eyes. So he takes a head so he can use his eyes. And if you'll notice, if the man isn't genuinely born again spiritual, he'll take what he can see with his eyes, the pride of life. And he'll go, many men, to say he's going to achieve something. He wants to join church, he wants to be religious, and he'll look around till he can find the biggest church he can find, and so on, and so on, and so on. So we know all these quotes. So it works through the mind. And in the mind, we can build up concepts. We can build up ideas. Strongholds. And after a while, we wonder, hey, what's going on with me? My prayer life decreasing. We should be the happiest people on earth. But it depends what we think. What is in our mind. What we ponder upon, you know, what we move in our heart. What did Mary move in her heart? What was she thinking of that the angel could visit her? Amen. What was in her thoughts? Amen. You know, we are a TV generation. We watch how others do the job. That's the entertainment generation. We watch. And we're flooded with images, with thoughts. And we can create our own imagination strongholds. You may know that. 2 Corinthians, let's open the Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 5. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. That's what they said about him. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So I wanted to read these verses also to have it. You see, every portion of Scripture belongs to something around it. I don't like to just pick out something. Let's keep it where it is. And then he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, look at me, please. Pulling down of strongholds. You know where these strongholds are? Here. Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So in captivity, we have to do something. I thought he has to do all things. You have to say, yes, I want. You have to say, Lord, you have to do something. We can't hinder the birds to fly over our head, but we don't allow them to build nests. We don't allow it, or? We don't wait for somebody else to take away the nest. We say, I don't allow it. We take that thought under captivity. We cast down reasonings. Bring them down, that strongholds. I have to ask myself afresh and anew, Lord, am I too fixed in my thoughts? Give me a new thought. And it's good for me to sit in church and something speaks to me and helps me not to get so fixed, because we can be so narrow-minded and we don't see the picture. Strongholds, explanations, ideas. I have that. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost even, and God may ask you, where is your reward? Did you know that? I will read that. Because sometimes people look at me when I say that. What? If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and everything will be perfect. I will always make the right decisions because now... Yeah, the prophet, 63. And even if you know the story, and you might know it better than I do, please listen. Please. Let us just read it together and get the picture. And Fletcher, how I remember him. He's a good kid. But this might be a lesson to the young children. I remember a few years ago, a handsome young man of James Fletcher Broy, and he got with the wrong crowd and he took his first drink. I remember he called me behind the curtain of my house, and his daddy has gone on to glory years ago, was out there picking a guitar on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. So here this James Fletcher Broy, outside his daddy sitting on a hill far away, and he took the wrong way. And I said, Fletcher, about 18-year-old boy, I said, don't go that route. But he never listened. He went on. He came a complete alcoholic, and his wife left him, his children, and he just, at this hour, God knows I love him. I went to pray for him, just a bum. I went to pray for him here not long ago. He'd got hurt. While I was here with the seven seals, I said, Fletcher, I got a couple of suits up there. I'd like to give it to you. He said, don't do it, Brother Bill. You see, we're cutting the suits of Brother Branham in pieces. Brother Branham wanted to give it to Fletcher Broy. Just to say it. And this man, he said, I don't want to do that. I know he had no clothes, and I said, why don't you take the clothes? He said, ooh. He looked up at me and he said, see, you know what I do with them. I pawn them and get drunk. I will make money with it. So don't give it to me. He got a good heart, all right? Nice boy. Brother Brim loved him. And I said, I'll give you a little money, Fletch. No, don't do it, Brother Bill. I don't want you to do it. He's a real guy at heart, but he's become an alcoholic and a bum. And his wife has took the wrong road. And oh, just everything happened to the poor fellow. And then Brother Bram speaks about a dream he had. And first of all, he didn't get the picture, what was painted before his eyes. And when I woke up, before I woke up, Fletch said to me, he said in the dream, he said, Billy, I'll hunt you a place, Brother Bill. You fed my children when they were hungry. And he said, you was a daddy to them. Now I'll find you a place here to keep warm. So Brother Branham, you know that, he saw this bum in the dream. And he had been good to Fletcher. And in the dream, he saw himself with him. And now that bum is coming, you took care for my family. You did all this to me. Now I will find you a warm place. And you know what that means. Place for to stand and warm your hands. A place for to cover yourself with newspapers. And to lay and not die when it's cold. So to be a bum with me. But Brother Bram didn't get the picture in that moment. And I walked up and looked out into the dark, cold night, and I thought, think of it. He saw himself now. One time, God the Almighty let me lead His church. One time, He let me preach His gospel and see souls saved. Men and women come from around the world to speak with me for a few minutes, and here I'm now, a bomb. Nobody wants me, and I'm cold. And what must I do? So he saw himself in that picture painted before his eyes. But he didn't get the picture. In that moment, he didn't get it. Because he explains and he waked up. And I told my wife, I said, maybe it means that Fletch is in need. You see, Fletch was not in need in that moment. Sometimes we think, maybe it means that Sister So-and-so is in need. We might be in need with a stronghold. Maybe it means that Fletch is in need. So we hurried up to see if we could find him. And his brother found him. He was staying out there with a witness or whoever. And they found him. And nothing was bad with him. So I said, just let it go. That's how he explained it. So I come down now from Canada with Fred and them the other day. And in my mind, I had it made up. You see, sometimes we have things in our mind made up. I didn't have to come to Lima, Ohio. I'm in Chicago right now. The customer told me, this project is not going to work. You will not make it work. That's very encouraging, isn't it? I had a hard week before. You might say maybe he just came down because he wanted to preach. You're wrong. I had excuses, and we can make our mind up for that. Oh, I'm tired, you know. I have to be ready, and something's going on in Chicago. There's a nice brother, he started to read. But still, we have to find out where to be. I'm sure I had to come down. But I was not always sure. It started to be more sure 10 minutes before the service here. You know how that is, sister? So here he was thinking, he said, if these people didn't want to hear my message, all right, they didn't have to. I preach now for about 35 years, and the last 15, 18 years I've done nothing but just, I've tried to live so close to him and not say a word till he told me first. So it seemed that he fulfilled perfect the word of God, because he said, I didn't do anything, only what he told me. Just remember, the bride knows what he wants to be done with the word. Amen. People say, now if Brother Branham tells you he's coming, remember, look out for the meetings, because he's coming in the name of the Lord. He don't do nothing till the Lord tells him. That's right. I waited till he told me. I didn't move till he told me. And then he got so, for the last few months, he didn't tell me nothing about places to go. Okay. And I come down from Canada and Fred and so on, and he explains it and you know it. And then he brings that. So I got up about 4 o'clock and got started driving. Billy was sleeping. He went into a place. We went into a place. And I was thinking on my mind, you know what? One of these days, as soon as I can get my wife up there, and I won't tell her what I'm going to do, but I'd get up here, up there, and then I'm going to tell her, I love this place so well. No need of us going anywhere else. Let's just stay here. And that's back from civilization, 1,100 miles from anywhere, way in the wilderness. I thought, boy, won't that be fine to be a real prophet, or? In the wilderness. Looks very good. I won't have to get a haircut. I won't have to dress up. And I'll just be a regular mountaineer. What I always wanted to be. And I said, I'll get some guns and some people give me, that they give me. And I'll be a guide. And since you, one that you've never heard of. I just love it. Then if the Lord tells me, go down and tell something somewhere. I run out and tell them and come back again. And I'll help Bud, and we'll really have a real place here. I was thinking of that. So he was thinking of that picture. Maybe we all go to Canada. Maybe we all do this and that. And he could bring scriptures. He could bring the patterns. And was building up, as he said, a complex. Building up an idea. A building. A stronghold. Maybe white colored. Maybe beautiful. But a stronghold. Nonsense. Rough word for it. But we went into a restaurant to eat, a little place in the mountains, just about 7 o'clock. It was getting a little late, so I woke Billy up. He was out of gasoline, so had to get some gasoline, and went to into this little place, this little restaurant. And while there, a man come across the street, maybe a teeny bit older than I was, but he looked like a man to me. He looked like a man to me. He had a pair of overalls, overall jacket, riding boots, a black hat, whiskers down on his face, like this, snow white, hair hanging out from under back of his head. I thought, that looked like a man. Brother Branham. Yes. For Brother Branham, for the man, it looked like a man. You think it looked like a man for God? But for him, he thought, still, into this, you see, he's on his way with Billy Paul, coming from meetings, going to meetings. The prophet of God, he said, he looked like a man to me, a real man. I'm so happy that he said it, that he didn't hide these things, because it helps me. If he could have a stronghold, what about me? I need the washing of the water of the word. Sometimes we spend hours in making ourselves dirty. And then we take 15 minutes. That's the time we're awake in church. Sorry, not you, me sometimes. And then we let it be washed out. And we can ponder on thoughts and ideas for hours and days, a new home. We can think about the plan of our new building project. How much time do we spend for the new home? How much do we think of the heavenly Jerusalem? We can take hours thinking about the health of our human body. How many minutes did we spend to think about the new body? What fills our thoughts, our mind? And you know what? I don't think that somebody would not go into the rapture because of that. No, I believe they go into the rapture. But it's a question, did you have a successful life or not? Could I be used? Could I serve the Lord? Or did I spend or spoil another day thinking of my home building project, my garage, my carport, 5 days planning for a carport? The carport's going to go. Sorry, I'm back in the tent somehow. We have tent missions once in a while. You know. We went into the restaurant. He said, the real man. To me, not some soft lazy with a cigar in his mouth about that long, sitting with a pair of shorts on around some patio or swimming pool, some hot-bellied Easterner or whatever. Excuse me that expression, he said, but however, the guy looked like a man to me. Hard, rough. Do you have your own image of what is a true son or a true daughter of God? You have to be careful with that. We might follow a funny image, and after a while it just comes down. Looked like he lived where God made man to live, and I was admiring him. Here comes a man in the overalls, you know, with the whiskers hanging down. And the prophet, I believe he didn't tell anything. This was not a joke. So he said, I admired him. Let us be careful what we admire. The girls may say, oh yes, I know what Brother Branham said. And then they admire that girl that is tingling. We should not admire it. Poor little thing. Lost, going to hell if God doesn't save. Let's face the facts. He came into the restaurant and ordered some pancakes with about 15, 20 people. He had to sneeze. Here comes that section. He had to sneeze. You know how some people, Brother Branham imitates, sniffing to sneeze. Achoo! Sorry. Achoo! Strong noise. Didn't care about somebody, you know? Real man. Real man drink milk. That's a different story. But he let out the great, big, healthy wood sneezer. Ka-choo! My, it looked like the wind was blasting. And when he did, nobody dared to say anything. No, sir. I said, Billy, there's a man after my own heart. Hey, I'm quoting the prophet, sorry. You can stone me later. Just imagine. Now think you would be Billy Paul. You know your daddy. You've seen many things. Now you see that man coming in. Don't know how to behave, or, you know. But still, a man. And here, Brother Branham, Billy, there's a man after my own heart. He said, Daddy, you don't want to be like... That's me in the future. See, I said, that's me. And I sat there a little bit, and Billy looked up at me and kept on eating his pancakes. And I was finished with mine. In a few minutes, somebody in the booth right around from us, with the board this way, the back of the booth, I couldn't see around. A man got up that looked exactly my profile. About 75 years old, little bitty fellow. And his clothes is tied on him, ragged. And the buddy that got up with him was Fletcher Broy. Exactly. Gray hair hanging in his face. And Billy looked around and he said, Daddy, that looks like you and Fletcher. Yeah. Oh, what a situation. I would call it, that's to be cooked. Sometimes God is cooking us down.
Yeah.
Cooking, just a little boiling, just a little bit. Lovely, but it's cooking. You just find out it's getting hot. Daddy! These two bums, like Fletcher and you. You could imagine how I felt. And the little fellow looked like me, wobbed up. And had been standing over a campfire with smoke all over his face, dirty. I think their breakfast, they had it together. The man must have paid 20 cents, maybe a cup of coffee or something. My heart bounced within me, and I watched. And Billy said, what's the matter with you? I said, nothing. And I watched that, and they went around and went out. He said, Daddy, what's the matter? I said, nothing. And I got in the car. He said, do you mind driving again? I said, no. I'm still sleepy. But Brother Branham was alone with that. So Brother Branham's driving again. Billy Paul again falling asleep. He went to sleep. And I went speeding down the road about 55 miles an hour in the truck over the mountains, coming on towards the border, down to coming home to Arizona. But I was coming now into Utah. And as I got there, and he goes further on, and then it comes. I know it sounds neurotically, but as I've just got through expressing, have I ever told you anything but what was right? And a voice got to talking. I was talking to it. It said, carry out your plans and you'll be like that. Carry out your plans and you'll be like that. What? The prophet? We're all on free moral agency, aren't we? God respects your decision. Praise God, you decided today to come to church. Carry out your plans. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. And he said, your wife will go too. She won't live up there in them hills like that. And you'll become a bum, just as the dream showed you it would be. His wife would leave him. He would become a bum, as he saw in the dream. He saw it in the dream. Oh, in the dream, this was about Fletcher, and it was about him. God is so good to us. He's knocking sometimes, very often. Knocking again. Pastors say something. We try to put it aside because it's disturbing our home building project. Our big building project for the stronghold. Our ideas we have. Here we try to cover it up with a quote. And here with a misplaced scripture. We bring it together. And then the pastor preaches and he scratches a little bit. And something falls down. And we try to lift it up again. And God is so good to us.
Amen.
For the bride, he's going to bring them all down.
Amen.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to have to live like that. I want to do something different. But I was told that you'd call me to be a prophet. And I want to live in the wilderness like the prophet. So he was coming to the Lord. You told me to be a prophet and I wanted to live like a prophet, you know. But I was using my own excuse so I could hunt my own good. We have to be so sincere. Double sincere. Paradox. To bind that serpent, huh? That snake. That mamba. More sincere. Oh God, help me. Not that we build our own strongholds and ideas. So he confessed it. He even says it in the church. It's on tape. I was using it. We have to come down to the truth.
Amen.
And God has given you something in your heart. He speaks to your heart and you know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And he said, but that was the prophets of the Old Testament. You've been called to be there in a much higher office than that. You have more gifts besides that. You was called to pray for the sick and to preach the gospel in the apostolic forms. You know of a greater things, many great gifts, he said. Why do you wait for me to move you every time you move? Where is your reward? Where's your reward? If we have a stronghold in our mind, let's cast down reasonings. Bring it under the captivity.
Amen.
In captivity. Amen. The control of Christ. Let him have the preeminence in your life.
Amen.
In all decisions. He told us things to do. If you want to wait for an angel to tell you to go to church every morning, Sunday morning, you can wait a long time.
Amen.
God told you already to do. Or that's a simple example. Or if you want an angel to come and tell you pray and read your Bible, we had an angel in our times.
Yeah.
He was asked, what should I do to become more spiritual? What can I do? Read your Bible and pray.
Amen.
But I want to be led in all things. For sure. Before you open it, you ask the Lord for grace. You tell him, open your word to me. And if you don't have the feeling that it's opened up to you, you read it anyhow. You do it.
Amen.
I'm in church even if I feel something or not. I have to be there.
Amen.
Wasn't there a story about somebody who could not even listen, even hear or see, and still came to church just to show which side he's on? Oh, that's carnal. Let's be very careful. It depends on what we stand for. Do we stand for the word or for our idea? But if we stand for the word, God sees the thing. He sees it. I let the sick lay. I want Lord to tell me where to go and not to. That's wrong. I built myself a complex because the people didn't hear my message. And if you, God forbid that I've tried to compare the life of now like Moses, but it's exactly what Moses did. The people wouldn't listen to him. And when he came to deliver them, so he just left them alone and went into the wilderness. But God turned him around and he long forgot the suffering people. It's greater now than it's under the old covenant. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know the whole story and you know the end of it. After that, he was on his way in the car. After all that went through, he received the revelation what the dream was all about. He had that experience in this coffee bar with that bomb. And with his boy. And then he was alone. God spoke to him. And he told him about it. And then he's on his way further on. And God shows him the seven peaks. And you know what? If I not read wrong here. Billy Paul showed him on the other side. On the other side there was a place with burning fires. Where the bums are to warm their hands. To lay down. Maybe rough, but I believe God accepts our decision.
Amen.
We will not force anyone into Christ.
Amen.
We're on free moral agency.
Amen.
We can have all kind of thoughts about it. But we have to make a decision daily. We have to die daily. I have to die daily to my own ideas, my strongholds, my ideas, how it should be, in my family, how this and that should come. I have to die to that. And not only die to the other things, to the bad things, I also have to rise and shine and speak the words and confess it. What's in my heart? And have to say, Lord, I deny my own thoughts, how it should be. You know, I have an idea how a priest, how a preacher should be. And I'm not a preacher according to that idea. What am I doing here now? I don't know. According to my ideas. I have an idea how it should be. How to have it prepared, everything ready. Sometimes I'm translating for brothers. And I'm so amazed what they're preaching. And I think, Lord, I quit. But I see what they're doing. So perfect. It's just... And I'm glad that I can translate, you know. Translate it. But it's not according to our idea. And we have to say, Lord, let me be on the post of duty. We know... We have to fulfill His plan, not our plan. But still all the time something is building up. That's how it should be in my family. My wife should be like this, and I should be like that. My children should be like this, and then it would be right. Maybe it's just a stronghold. Maybe through the hard things we go through, God is revealing His power. In the midst of Satan's Eden, he got a bride standing.
Amen.
She stands. She confesses his word, even when she feels different.
Amen.
She's denying the old body, the feelings of feeling sick. Oh, I don't feel to go to church. I didn't feel to go to church. But we want to. Let me stand for what's right. You see, decision is a very important point, and I will not make too long. And we all know this part. It was spoken to Brother Branham in February the 11th, 1961, at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast. Because Thou hast chosen the narrow path. Because Thou hast chosen the narrow path. The harder way. Somebody is choosing the harder way. We want to have it easy. Forget it. Somebody chose a harder way. Thou hast walked on thy own choosing. Thou hast walked on thy own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And this is my way. You see, true healing is a clear-cut decision for Christ. Also quote, true healing is a clear-cut decision. Why am I struggling? Why am I not healed? A clear-cut decision.
Amen.
To lay aside the other thoughts. And then we just wait. And it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
It may not come in the next minute. May not come the next day. But it's going to come. And we have to lay aside the unbelief. We have to make a decision.
Amen.
We have to stand for what is right. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This is that which will give and may come to pass a tremendous victory in the love divine. We all know that. When we go into that story, when I came off the platform, I was over in Phoenix a few days before that and seen several different fruits growing in one tree. I seen an orange tree and a grapefruit, lemon, believe, tangerines, tangelos, and all them. And then he was explaining that. Well, this great minister of the biggest Pentecostal organization we have was standing there and resented it. That I didn't mean it that way. So they were resenting it, and they said, he didn't mean it that way. But I got back and said, I do mean it that way. See? I said exactly, I take nothing back. You see, that was quite a point out of many little puzzle things, you know? Jigsaw puzzle subjects. So somebody was coming and was talking to the audience and say, he didn't mean it that way. And he said, but I came back. So he was bringing himself in trouble, just imagine. I came back and I said, I meant it that way. So that everybody understands. That's the way I said it and I stand for it. I take nothing back. The other day when I spoke about those altars, not knowing, never seeing that in history, I never have said nothing yet from the platform under inspiration that I ever had to take back. Now you can call that seed of the serpent or whatever you wish to, whatever the message was or the great harlot said so much kick it is against. Just come, why don't you come to me with the scriptures with me and you see. You see, he told them all these things. I never had to take it back. And he stood for it. He made a right decision. We should stand for the word. Are we healed in his stripes? That's just a simple thing. Will we stand for it? Even before principalities and powers? Do we know that we have power? And if you look up for that word over there, it's authority. It's power. Give the authority. It's the same word power that was used when they were amazed about Jesus, that he had power. He spoke not like any man. He spoke like somebody who got power. Authority. That's a word there in John 1. Authority. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way thou hast made. Thou hast walked upon your own choosing. In other words, I didn't have to do it. I can side in and go with them if I want to. But I stayed with the want to stay with the Word. I want to finish. You see, in all things, in all decisions, we have to follow our own thoughts or God's thought. We can follow both sides. If we have a problem, if we have a trouble, something in our life, in our family or whatever, I got good explanations for our problems. You may have also. You see, the devil offers excuses all the time. He's very good at that. Excuses, explanations. He can give you a wonderful idea, even he could back it up with a word, because it's his old strategy. The same way he attacked Jesus, he's going to attack his children, the bride, God's children. He's going against them, and he even might bring the word. He was doing it all the time. But somehow, he misplaces the word. He's given them all kind of explanations. But Jesus didn't take it like that. He said, but it's also written.
Yes, right. Amen.
He stood against it.
Amen.
He brought it down to the thought that was behind the word. And we must be very honest. We have to be sincere. If we take the word, we should keep it in the thought. Can you receive it in the same inspiration it was given? Do we still keep it in the same way? Or do we have our own idea? The word is not to cover our weaknesses in that way. It's a protection. It's a shield, it's a power, it's a sword. It's a real protection. But not something to hide ourselves behind it in that way.
That's right.
You know, that's fig leaf religion.
Right.
That's a copy. That's not it. We got more than that.
Amen.
Actually, we're ready for the destroying of these strongholds. When you believe the word and you speak it, you destroy the strongholds. You forget that thought of giving up. Oh, maybe time is over. Maybe I give up. I just wait. You don't wait. You live for Him.
Amen.
And while you're living for Him, you're resting in Christ. That's a paradox. You're resting in Him while you live for Him. While you go further on. You go step by step and you confess the truth. It is written, Lord. It is written, Lord. Hallelujah. We are that generation. Hallelujah. One day this body will be consumed, taken away. Something will just overshadow us. Something will just come. And we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Do you believe it? Let us forget excuses. You see, we can understand all things. As human beings, you see, everything is understandable. If we have a problem, I have problems, and if I would explain it to you, you would say, yes, I can understand. I can understand. Yes, we can understand. We can understand. But what is God telling you about it?
Amen.
What is His word saying about it?
Amen.
We are more than overcomers.
Amen.
Oh, brother, but you don't know what I went through. You know, my problem, my subject, you know, and the condition, and my wife, and this and that. And we are more than overcomers.
Amen.
We are more than able to do it.
Amen.
We have to shake ourselves sometimes. Say, Lord, clean my conscience. Wash me with the water of the word. Wash my thoughts. Let me be filled with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Your word is right.
Amen.
You're the author and the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
He who began the good work, He's going to finish it up.
Amen.
I did not call myself, You called me.
Amen.
I will not finish myself, You're going to finish
me.
You will finish up with that good work.
Amen.
And you're strong, you're the creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Who am I? Forgive me, Lord, my stupidity. That I was doubting. I should doubt my doubts. But believe Your word. Forgive me my stupidity. How could I think my case could be too rough? What a nonsense. You're the creator. You made everything, and I think, what? Me? Little bitty thing? My case too complicated? Or it's a simple thing for you. You just speak the word and I'm free. You're the one. You spoke it already. And your word is on the way. Your word of healing is on the way. One day it's going to come down from here to my heart. And then it explodes and sets me free. You are more than able to do that. No matter if I feel it or believe it right now, I'm going to believe it with all my heart. I want to do it. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. But forgive me, such a stupid boy. How could I think that? You would not do it in my life. Oh, what a nonsense. Lord, how could I think that? How could I boast myself up so much that I think my case is too complicated? Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm a stupid boy. Lord, for you, it's just nothing. You made it already. You made it already. And if crazy thoughts are coming to you, yeah, he was with the prophet, but you know, the prophet is gone and... We don't have seen it for a long time. You never heard of a case like that in the church. We're narrow-minded. You know, the body of Christ is all around the world. And while somebody's sitting there and says, I don't know if anything like that could happen. Maybe while we are sitting here and thinking crazy thoughts, somewhere else, the dead are risen. They rise in that moment, you know. We talk, we think, we doubt, and we don't doubt our doubt, what you should do. And God is doing the things. It's stupid. Unbelief is a silly thing, and it comes from the devil. And we have to confess it. Oh, now I'm down again. He said it's of the devil. And I doubt so much. Yes. I doubt a lot. It happens to me also. But we kick it out. We fight the good fight of faith. We confess the good word. You cannot keep the two thoughts together. One has to win. And if you confess the good word of God, it just takes a little bit of a time. And then there's no place, no space for unbelief. And we have to do that. So don't lay aside your weapon. Have the sword ready and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I don't want to say more. Do you believe?
Amen.
Do you love that?
Amen.
That song of the beginning was very nice. 975, I bless your name. You see, we should be very careful what we say, what we think. What we speak. What we think, what we allow our mind to ponder upon. I tried to... Yesterday I was talking with Brother Tim and I said, Brother Tim, this evening, if I would like to invite you to a beer bar, would you go with me? He looked at me, you know. I was even using a strong word I would not use here. Such a place, would you go? And he said, I think not. I would not like that. So we would not move our body to some places, or you would not go everywhere. You would not like to sit among those that, according to Psalm 1, among those that speak the things that we should not listen to. You would not hang around everywhere. You would not watch all kind of things. If I would open a notebook here and try to show you a trash movie, anything, you would close your eyes, or? And we should also not allow our mind to think nonsense.
Amen.
Remember, unbelief is of the devil. It's out of hell. And we have to be, you would say, consequent. You know that word? Clear, consequent. Lord, my body belongs to you. My mind belongs to you. My thoughts, they belong to you. I don't want to think that. Lord, help me. And we know also when you look at the serpent, when you look at that snake and your little bird, and you always look at it, it's going to bite you. So we have to look up and fly. That's what the bird has to do. So you may not get rid of all the thoughts in a second, but concentrate on the Word.
Amen.
Have your minds on Christ.
Amen.
Meditate on the Word and go further on. Let us sing, I Bless Your Name. Help us to make the right decisions. Help us clean our thoughts. I've just experienced that a few days ago. My wife came up with that thing of get rid of the big car and have a smaller one. You know, I tried to keep my thoughts. I had my ideas. And then when I was alone, I prayed, Lord, give me a clear sign. And now you open up things and it's totally not according to my thoughts. But somehow you're doing things. Help us to get rid of our own ideas. Cast down reasonings. Take away strongholds. Help us clean our thoughts. Let us think the pure thoughts of the Word of God. Let us confess and speak what you've done. Let us confess your word. Keep us as somebody who's honoring you by faith. If there's somebody here that is struggling in his mind with decisions, and if the word has spoken to his heart, may he now pray. May he bow his knees to pray, to come before you, that you can wash us free and clean, that you can empty out all our thoughts and fill us with your thoughts. Give us a new idea. Give us your revelation of the word. Bring us back to the past always, following your word and believing what you've done. Lord, we love you. We praise you. I thank you for this wonderful church, for these people. Lord, I thank you for each and every one. For me, it's amazing if somebody can have patience with me also to stand that for such a long time. Lord, how precious is your bride? How precious is your bride? The most precious thing on earth to redeem by your blood. Oh Lord, they're so precious in your eyes. May you help each and every one. Encourage these ones that are discouraged. Help them that are exhausted. Give us a clear thinking, a clear mind, washed by the water of the Word. And help us going through. Help Brother Jeff. Help the brothers that are ministering here. Let us cling together. Let us work together. Let us love one another and lay aside everything. Everything that is rising up and trying to go against the true knowledge of the Word of God. Let us cast down reasonings and live for You. Let us understand our calling as sons and daughters of God. We are called to be saved, called to be redeemed, called to have grace, because we inherit grace. We are called for a blessing for other people. We are called for to be a blessing for our neighbors, for our family members, for our colleagues, for our church, for our pastor, for the people left and right close to us. Lord, let us recognize we're called for to be a blessing. We thank You in Jesus' name. I bless Your name. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the ministers. That God will grant an open door. Pray for them. The devil is shooting against you. You know how he's shooting against the pastor? He wants to get you out of the way. He wants to get the ministry out of the way. Be encouraging to one another. And encourage yourself. The Word of God. Encourage one another with these words. It's written in the Bible. When we speak about the rapture, speak about the rapture, not about the dollar and euro level. The dollar's going down, the euro also. Christ's gonna come. God bless you. I bless Your name.
Live for Jesus. sing it once again. Amen. Praise God. You'll do that.
I'll live for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll thank heaven
just give him a clap off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Clap. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We can live. Because we have the Holy Ghost, Lord. Help us each day, Lord. So we can bless it for your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. For the message you're giving us now. Praise God. I'm not very good at recognizing. I guess I didn't say that Brother Eckhart was coming this morning, but so glad for the word he brought forth. I was thinking while he's speaking, it's so true. And every day, you know, you get ready. Wednesday morning, my family came in. Rich had gotten back, and of course, Charity had been with us for about 2.5 weeks. And I decided, I thought maybe I wouldn't go to church. I thought, well, maybe I should stay with my family. They've come in, I should stay with them. You know how Satan works. And yet I felt nudged to come to church anyway. And said, well, I hate to leave them. They just got in. What, you know what they're going to think? Drove all day and up all night and then drove all day, some of them. And I thought, well, maybe I won't go. I'll just call Brother Paul and have him take service. I'll just stay home, you know. And yet I still wanted to come, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go anyway. So I did, and I was blessed. And I was, you know, I guess Satan works on a sapcat all the time. I think sometimes after I have song service, I'll never lead another song service. I'll never go up there again. You know, I guess ministers are that way, song leaders are that way. Everybody's that way, you know, that gets up there. You just, you know, you think, oh, let's never do it again. I told Brother Jeff that one time. He said, well, I feel that way too, you know. So so don't go up there again. But, you know, God is so good to us, though. I think of all that those that went through back in years going by, of the lives that were shed, the blood that was shed. I think of all that God has done for us. How could we give him less? And I just so appreciate him, appreciate all he does. Let's sing that little song, Ancient Words, before we dismiss. And 1003 is KF. Amen. So much God has done for us. I appreciate it for it. Holy words long preserved for our walk. Open hearts, oh, let the word of God hear. dismiss us this morning as we sing "Yes, There" again. Words of God, ever true. They're changing me. Oh, they're changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, that the Word of God in
God. I'm going to have a greater appreciation of a stronghold this morning. You don't have to pull that stronghold down very far, do we? I'll never forget that. That's a word picture I'll never forget. Appreciate my brother just opening his heart to me, don't you? Aren't you thankful that God just He sets His servants in exactly the place He wants them, when He wants them, where He wants them, and He speaks what He wants them to speak. I want to thank you. Thank my brother for being obedient to the Lord, not maybe to his tired body. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just look to Him as we're dismissed. I want you to go remembering that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're mighty. Through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. Well, I got some pulling down to do. How about you? And every day I get to pull him down again. Because the enemy's... we're no match for the enemy. He's relentless in his attack. But greater is He that's in you and me than he that's in the world. Let's just look to Him as you're dismissed. Father, we thank You for speaking heart to heart to Your children this morning. We pray, Lord, that You would let this not just be another sermon. Maybe a life-changing experience for each of us here in this place, from the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between. Lord, we know that You've given us everything we need for a rapture. You've given us everything we need to overcome. May we draw upon and use those tools that are at our disposal through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. We pray that You especially strengthen our brother, that He would give his physical body the strength he needs for the work that's ahead this week. And Lord Eckhart has just been a blessing to the little flock here in Lima. And don't you let him go away from here thinking, oh, I just didn't do any good. Lord, I want You to comfort and encourage his heart this morning. Because he spoke as the oracles of God, according to Your purpose. And we thank You for that. Be with us. Give us traveling mercies. Many of us going, some coming back from holiday vacations and what more. We pray that You would just give us mercy and grace in Your sight. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You're dismissed. Words of God, ever true. They're changing me, oh, they're changing me. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the Word of God in heart. I love You, Lord. And I live my voice.
be what I was born.